This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jalen Walker ain't lasting long. I had one person say, what's the bleeping difference between him and Abdul? Couple inches. This guy is the alpha. We've talked about it multiple times. And then I've talked to other people in the league and it's like, yeah, this cat, like, I don't just get the tape. I get him in my building. I think the clock starts ticking at five. Absolute floor is the Saints at nine, but I think it really is Carolina at eight.
Todd McShay breaking down Jalen Walker as a prospect. An edge rusher, off the ball linebacker, some versatility there.
Yes.
That has been linked to the Patriots by Mike Giardi earlier in the week. Giardi says he's got a lot of fans in the building here at Gillette. I will point out when McShay says, what's the difference between these two guys? Maybe a couple inches.
Hello.
I mean, I feel like...
If that's all
we're talking, a couple inches could really, I would imagine, come into play. Not
sure.
That I would know, but I would imagine that would come into play. So it's interesting. He's rising up boards, it seems. He says five is where you start talking about him, which is after the Pats. Nine feels like the floor. Eight seems a natural fit in Carolina for Jalen Walker. I find this whole thing amusing where it's like every day it's like, oh, maybe it's Jalen Walker. Oh, maybe it's Will Campbell. Oh, maybe it's Mason Graham, right? And we're as guilty of that as anybody else. I don't mean to absolve us of that. We've spent a lot of time following the draft and talking about what could happen at four. But when names start coming out of what I would consider left field, where we've established now that a month's worth of conversation, and we're talking about pick four, we're not talking about pick 10.
No.
There's only so many things that can happen in front of the Patriots where prospects rise or fall, and a name comes out of what I would consider the woodwork. Guys can rise up, but between Membu and Jalen Walker, it's one of two things. Either we have too much time to talk about the draft and kick around, and now we're just throwing names out there.
Possible. Yes.
Or the Patriots don't really know what to do it for because they don't love any of these guys. The guys they love are the obvious guys, Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter, and they don't really love any of these other prospects, which, by the way, I wouldn't blame them for. I don't know that anybody really loves these guys.
Well, perhaps that talk is, all right, well, what happens if you trade down, right? Because maybe it's not you're taking any of these guys to four, but it's like, all right, well, what if the player you really like goes off at three and then you get blown away with the trade offer? What would you do? How far would you be willing to go down? And then who would you target? And then you'd have to figure another handful of guys' names would be off the board. That would be my hope, because Jalen Walker might end up being a great player in the NFL. But if they walked away with him in the first round, I'd be devastated.
Yeah.
I'd be like, how do you do that? Like, I think it's either Abdul Carter or offense. So even the next best defensive player, he very, very well could be the next best defensive player. I don't want that. They were all defense in free agency. I think he's good, but I don't think he is, what Abdul Carter could be. So that would be pretty rough. That would also be a tough sell to Drake May. Be like, hey, did you see that first round last night? What'd you do? Yeah, you know, the defensive guy. We're beefing up that line. You're like, okay, great. Like, right. I needed somebody to throw to or somebody to block for me.
So instead of rushing out and getting Harold Landry, could you have gotten me a wide receiver way back when?
Would have been nice.
Because like
left tackle.
That is a fair way to look at. Yeah, or a left tackle. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I'm just starting to wonder if they're like a lot of, they don't love any of these guys.
Yeah.
And ideally, you said trade back. The problem is there may not be a match to trade back. I think we've highlighted this now for a few weeks on this show. Everybody says trade back. Well, trade back. Well, obviously, just trade back.
It is an easy thing to say.
What if you can't get what you want? Or what if you can't get fair value? What if you don't get a future first and a second and what it would take to move down? So if you're not getting that, do you just stand there and take your guy, or do you just get the best offer, even if it's below market,
right,
to move down? Is that good business? So I wonder if the Patriots are just a little stuck. And the reason we hear names like Membu and now Jalen Walker and Campbell and Mason Graham and all these names kicked around, they're hoping for Carter or Hunter.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just trying to throw people off the scent. I'll allow for that. Maybe the mock draft community is bored. I wonder if the Patriots really have a guy that they are in love with and are going to pound the table for at pick four. I don't know that that guy exists.
Here's still my hope. And you might be right about that. Maybe they don't love anybody, or maybe they do love Carter, and maybe they do love Hunter, and they're just coming to the realization that those guys might not be there. However, I still go back to quarterbacks get overdrafted. Teams go crazy for quarterbacks, because you can go back over the last just 10 years and take 2 weeks before the draft. Where was Zach Wilson going? Where was Trey Lance going? Where was
Bo
Nix going? Anthony Richardson, Baker Mayfield. Like, where were all those guys going just 2 weeks before the draft? And we've already seen plenty of talk of Shedeur Sanders and Jaxson Dart being in the top 10. So they're already in the top 10. So in the next week, could those guys go in the top five? Could those guys push one of the great players down to four? I still think, yeah, that is what I'm holding out hope for, and I think it's very realistic.
Just to bring something up, since you brought up the quarterback names, and maybe this is another example of what we were just talking about. Too much time. Mock draft community has too much time to talk about it.
It happens.
Start throwing out other scenarios out there. You're starting to hear a little bit of Jaxson Dart could go before Shedeur Sanders.
It's fine.
And
I don't care who it is. This is somebody.
And I'm not a big fan of Dart specifically.
No, me neither.
This came out yesterday, too, though. Lou Riddick on First Take was talking about Shedeur. And he says, I hope he doesn't go in the top three picks. I hope he doesn't. And I think his camp would tell you the same thing. There are other teams they want to go to.
Where does he want to go?
Well, do you think he doesn't want to go in the top three, or you think it's starting to become clear he's not going to go in the top three, so they're putting that narrative out
there. Can't fire me, I quit.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't want to go to the Titans, the Browns, or the Giants. We actually have another team in mind. That's where we always wanted to go, to New Orleans or whatever. We always wanted to go to Pittsburgh at 21.
So Pittsburgh, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe Pittsburgh, because you're like, that's a team that's got a pretty high floor. It's got a good head coach. You can go in there and, you know, as long as you're not Kenny Pickett, which I don't think he is, maybe you have some level of success. The other teams, like, you do want to go in the top three. You do want to be picked that high.
So
like, that's just how it goes.
And look, that's Lou Riddick passing along that he thinks the camp feels that way. That's not a concrete report by any means. But I wonder if that's an indication that they know he's dropping. And if he's dropping, that's not, unless Dart is rising, that's not great news for the Patriots.
I think Dart is rising. The question would be, is it just in response to Sanders falling? And is it sort of like a quarterback big board thing, or is it like an overall big board thing? Because Jaxson Dart, a month ago, probably wasn't a first-round pick. We were arguing over who the third-best quarterback was. Everybody had a different answer at that point. Some said Jalen Milroe. Some said Dart.
Your answer is Milroe?
Milroe to me, yeah.
That's same with me, yeah.
Yeah, I think he is the third-best. I wouldn't take him in the first round, but then again, teams go crazy. They're afraid someone's going to snipe their quarterback or whatever else, so he still could. But yeah,
run and throw. He built like a brick house.
Yeah, we certainly aren't alone.
Why don't you forget Jalen Milroe? That's
that guy called months ago about Jalen Milroe.
Yeah, well, he wanted to take him like number one overall, I think. Yeah,
all September.
Yeah.
About Jalen Milroe.
I think the Pats
have Drake May.
Well, but it was September.
Lost to Vanderbilt the next week.
No, but I think that guy
that did lose a Vandy.
If I remember correctly, I think that guy was like, I don't even like Drake May. Get Jalen Milroe, I think was the reason for that.
Well, either way. But yeah, no, it is wild. I love the fact that there is a lot of uncertainty still with 2 weeks to go. I mean, the one thing that seems like a lock is Cam Ward. But 2-3, we have no idea. I know Schefter's like, oh, Hunter 2. But like a week ago, you said Carter 2. So like next week, that could change as well. I think it's going to be a fascinating top of the draft.
Meanwhile, the Patriots have Abdul Carter in for a visit, a top 30 visit. On Monday, not today. They're going to be doing it early next week.
Mm-hmm.
And he's only making four visits. It's the teams drafting 1, 2, 3, 4. Rap Sheet says this seems like the floor on Abdul Carter. Do you think he's dropping? Or do you think it's just
quarterback
Hunter's special?
I think it's Hunter and quarterbacks.
Okay.
Yeah, so I still think.
And you would view it the same way. You like Hunter over Carter.
Yes.
And if you're quarterback needy, they get pushed up. So you don't even necessarily disagree with that.
No, I think he's the second best player in the draft. But I think two quarterbacks will still get sort of based on need will go. And then Hunter, which I don't think is really even a slap at Carter. So it's like you got pushed down because of the Heisman winner who plays two sides of the ball. Like, okay. Now, if Mason Graham or Will Campbell or somebody like that gets picked ahead of him, then he's falling. And then it's like, all right, is this something up with his foot? Or like, is it worse than we thought? That would be more of a free fall. If he does pass the Patriots, if he goes fifth or sixth, then you're like, what happened there?
So I wonder if it's injury. And we asked Kern about that the other day. He's like, I haven't heard anything on that. I mean, I don't know that anything is, again, concrete, firm reporting that he's going to miss time. I even if he was going to miss the start of training camp, there's a big difference between a rookie who you're going to have for 5 years and is in his early 20s missing the start of training camp versus a guy like Steph Diggs on a one-year deal in his 30s off an ACL injury. So I wonder if the medicals are an issue. McShay even said, and he was more talking up Jalen Walker, but he more said in that clip, well, Jalen Walker is a guy you want in your building. And you wonder if that's an indirect dig at Abdul Carter. Like, I'm okay with the guy if he is, you know, not the hardest worker or maybe not the best personality on a crummy team like this. If you really believe in his talent, I'm more than okay with getting that guy in the building, cross the bridge with his attitude, his work ethic, all that stuff when you get there. I'm not overdrafting Jalen Carter at 4 because I like his work ethic versus the talent. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I'm not in the spot to just draft all good guys. There was one draft that Bill Belichick took, remember it was like all team captains or something like that?
The Tavon Wilson draft, that one?
It was Jordan Richards, I think.
Oh, was it that one?
Because you're like, Jordan Richards in the second round, and then you looked at the end of the draft, I think they were all like 4 or 5 year players. They were all like captains, and I'm sure at that point they were all good guys. Now, they certainly didn't do that every year, but I think there was one year where they kind of prioritized that. I'm like, I don't know, get the guys that can play. And if there's a little bit of a question with Carter, then all right, that's why you're paying Mike Vrabel all that money and Terrell Williams. Like, those guys should be able to get the most out of Abdul Carter. I'd take my chances with that.
617-779-7937. What's the plan at 4 for the Patriots? Is there anybody they actually like? Good text here, 617-779-7937. Guys, here's a thought. Maybe the Patriots know exactly who they want in the draft. Maybe they're just throwing out a bunch of names and they're trying to just keep people off the scent. They don't want the Giants to fall in love with them.
But if the guy's Hunter, like, you can know who you want, but because you're picking fourth, well, there's a lot of uncertainty.
That's fair too. Like, I bet they like Hunter. I bet they like Carter.
Well, Vrabel had that line last week, remember, where they're like, well, if you tell me who's going 1, 2, and 3, I can tell you who we're taking at 4. Being like, all right, they clearly, I think, like a guy or maybe 2, but there's also a chance that neither are available.
Yeah, so I don't know. I've heard enough names at 4 where maybe it's just a master class and they're manipulating the board. They don't want the Giants to talk themselves into somebody at 3.
Yeah.
They don't want the Giants to trade back and have somebody leapfrog them at 3. And so they're just trying to throw people off the scent. Or maybe I'm just reading too much and the names popping out of nowhere. But I wonder if they actually like anybody at 4. And by the way, I wouldn't blame them if they don't. Most people don't like this draft. That's not a wild thing to suggest. The Patriots may not like anybody at 4, since nobody really likes the draft outside of the top 2 guys.
I need to thank Boston Sports Company for this next segment because they introduced us to the local artist Acrobatic.
Yeah.
And Acrobatic creates for this show a weekly wrap with an R up on everything that happened here in Boston in sports this week. And Acrobatic does it by spitting some rhymes at it, Wiggy.
Yeah.
So without further ado, the week in sports here in Boston from Acrobatic.
Let's go. What up? You know the sports gets live when Ack rocks. I just finished watching the Bruins against the Blackhawks. Come on, are you serious? These dudes gave up 4 goals in the third period. I'ma chill because they've been playing better lately. And otherwise, the guys on the team might start to hate me. Pasta hit 100 points there. That's a bright spot. Geeky hit 30 goals. Homie got a nice shot. The Jays had the Sox in sweep territory until some late game heroics from Trevor Story. They won the final game in extras. Now it's off to Chicago where the White Sox are next up. The other night, the Green battled with the Magic. Right from jump, you could tell it would be havoc. Torrey Craig was the only brother on the floor. Funny party went 0 for 7 and he didn't score. Pritch picked up the slack, but that wasn't enough. Without the true starting five, things was rugged and rough. But headed towards the playoffs, rest is what the crew needs. Plus, they already locked down the number 2 seed. The Florida Gators said later to the haters. The Cougars was the losers, couldn't do themselves a favor. Florida waited all game to cook. They not shook, that's all it took to put a title in the books. Frozen 4 preview, let's go BU. Third straight appearance in the dance, yo, we see you. It's Acro with that ill flow. I love Boston sports on the Greg Hill Show. Turn it up!
Turn it up!
All right, good.
Smash it or trash it?
Smash it.
I'm full smash.
Yeah,
it's always smash.
Oh, my God.
Hulk smash.
Ink game is legit.
Yeah. Pen game is serious.
Am I right on the pen game?
I told you.
How about the ink game? Ink game also.
Yeah, ink game is. I told you about Boston Rappers, man. We got them out here.
The quill game is strong. Full strong.
All right. Shout out to Marlon for that, man.
Yes.
If you're in the North Faneuil Hall, go check them out.
Thank you.
They're going to send us some swag, too, though.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, because, you know, they do the Pritch Please shirts, and they got a lot of stuff. So
yeah, fantastic. You know. All right, Chime, let's get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Mondino and have me face him. Maybe I'll drill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
They said it this morning is brought to you by Ketch's Law, and they would like to honor those who built this city. The iron workers, the excavator operators, the nurses, the truck drivers, those who care for everybody in our city. Please nominate your favorite hero who helped to build this city when you go to WeBuiltThisCity.com.
And as someone that set the dialogue for the city, I think I could be.
You could be nominated by anonymously, Curtis, by somebody for helping to build this city. So, all right, where do you want to start, Shime?
Well, Greg, John Morant got in trouble for using guns as a celebration. The finger guns as a celebration during a basketball game. Well, he's now changed it. He's now using the grenade toss.
Love it.
The finger grenade. The hand grenade.
The hand grenade. Pulls the pin with his mouth, tosses it, covers his ears.
And, Greg, the finger grenade, that was Wiggy with the past hors d'oeuvres.
So,
I mean, I don't feel like this is a better choice, but I don't know weaponry as well.
Isn't this
as,
more lethal?
As some.
Definitely more lethal.
Very much so more lethal. Greg, and there's a group of guys who talk about basketball all the time. The Inside the NBA on TNT crew agrees with you. And here they are reacting to Ja's new celebration.
You would.
Well, he has a history that maybe like he shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, maybe just
keep the celebrations with people might die alone.
You know what they're doing because y'all going to keep talking about it. Pull that pin.
I know one person happy right now.
Who's that?
Taylor Jenkins ain't got to deal with this crap. He's going to get another job that he deserves. I'm like, I have to deal with this immature stuff.
Can we just go back to the facts of this and how stupid it is? Who cares? He obviously doesn't have a gun. There aren't any bullets attached to his index finger.
Right.
We are all adults, and if your kid doesn't know the difference, then be a better parent. Like, can we just really stop this? Like,
I can't wait till he does the rocket launch in that.
No, he's going on his shoulder. He's going flamethrower.
Oh, he's
going
to go flamethrower? Yeah. But that's kind of too much like a gun. Maybe if he throws it on his shoulder.
Yeah, I mean,
I do like the grenade, though, the toss in the grenade.
We talked about this last week. Who cares? Curtis is right.
To celebrations.
Like, it's
well, now it seems like he's doing it because he knows people are going to overreact.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It is kind of, you know, it is kind of dope, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I ain't going
blocking
front.
Your ears is the best part.
Yeah.
Watch
That's
it.
Great.
Curtis, you should do that when you get off a witty one-liner.
Like, I will.
I think you should do that.
I actually put a gun to my head when I work with Ken and he tells me that Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward aren't as good as Joe Milton. By the way, Ted Johnson railing against Ken Laird the other day.
Oh, he was?
Really?
Yeah. Said he was listening to our show and how dumb the take was about Cam Ward and Joe Milton.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Oh, I liked it. I got a 52 jersey.
Cam Ward's going to be the number one overall pick. Joe Milton was, what, a fifth, sixth round pick?
He was a sixth rounder.
I'm not saying that, you know, hey, 5 years from now, Joe Milton's not the better quarterback, but I'm just saying as we look at these players coming into the NFL, that's kind of, you know, no one really looks at Joe Milton and says, oh, okay, this guy is always going to tear it up. So, but I guess, you know.
Well, we talked about it yesterday, but Abdul Carter will be here visiting on Monday. So,
and he won't need surgery on his foot.
Yeah,
so.
that's good news. Is that it seems like the foot, but it might be bad news. Like if the foot is not an issue, there's no reason, from my perspective, that he's available at number four. Like there's no if the foot is a nothing.
There's no
burger,
way he's available
as Curtis's doctor would
but
say.
But I guess it's really the Giants, right?
He's visiting with the Giants for 2 days,
right? But if everybody's telling me that Travis Hunt is going to go two.
Well, it might not be the case. Like, it might be the case that Abdul Carter now
goes two to Cleveland.
Now that there's this foot news, like, okay. I mean, again, it's a strategy thing, like best player versus need. Like,
right? But if you're a team like the Giants, let's just play the game. Shime, you have Travis Hunter going two to Cleveland, correct?
I had him going three to the Giants in my
latest mock. You switched it up. But there are teams out there that believe Travis Hunter is going two to Cleveland. So if you're the Giants and you're Brian Daboll, you're in the hot seat. So you have to win this year or you're going to get fired. Why are you going to bring in a guy to a position that you already have elite talent in when you need help on the offensive side of the football?
Because your owner may tell you that you have to. Like, if you look at that player as you've said from back to October that he was the best player that was going to be available in the draft.
Right, but they have two really good, talented edge rushers.
Or they just take the Philly approach and get as many good pass rushers as they can get. Yeah. Especially since two of them are on rookie contract.
Right, but guess what? Philly went and took two wide receivers, or they drafted one and then they traded for another before they got some of those D linemen.
This is Mike from Boston. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I just wanted to comment on the John Moran thing. And first off, I got to say, I'm not a liberal. I'm a Trump supporter in that aspect. But I don't know if you guys can't understand how that's not like a healthy thing to do. Like, I understand people don't think he's really shooting people, but this guy's got a huge following. He's doing finger guns all around the air. Insinuating that shooting and guns is all right, and you're going to have thousands of kids running
Mike,
around.
Mike, I'm sorry to do this. Can you quickly hold for 1 second? How many kids in America that you're discussing that watch the NBA also play Call of Duty?
Oh, a lot.
That is a very good point.
Yeah. So why are we allowing our kids to play Call of Duty in our living room and blaming Ja Morant for gun culture?
Or even Grand Theft Auto. That's another big one.
I'm sorry. It's such an old, tired cliche. Like, I don't think you're coming from a bad place, Mike. It's just make that make sense.
Yeah.
It's almost time for the match 2.0, which is Shime v. yours truly on the new Grand Theft Auto when it drops. Mm. Is that next year, though?
I thought it was fall of this year, no?
Okay, thank God. It's been years.
It's been forever.
Like, get done with it already.
The graphics are ridiculous.
So if we're not allowed to do finger guns, then I can't do the Shooter McGavin when I hit a putt in match 1.0?
No, yeah, we allow him.
You'd have to hit the putt first.
Fair point. Touche. So I think we've officially entered loony season for the NFL draft. First, Ken Laird says Joe Milton better than Cam Ward. Well, let's go in the complete opposite direction because Lewis Riddick has compared Cam Ward to someone who should never be compared to.
You want a guy who has no limitations. And quite honestly, he doesn't have any limitations. So I see this being a perfect marriage on the football field. Like I said, my comp for Cam Ward, because of the way he plays, he reminds me of Patrick. He reminds me of Mahomes with how he can be unconventional, throw the football from all different kinds of weird angles, and then just put a bunch of horsepower on it when he needs to.
So dumb. Can we just like make a rule where we don't compare guys to Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes? Please, for the love of God. Nobody are them. They are unicorns in and of themselves.
And like, just one quick clarification, and now we no longer can compare Mahomes to Brady because he pees his pants in the Super Bowl.
So no comps at all or just on those two players?
I think it's just on those two guys. Like Patrick Mahomes is in this generation is a very unique individual that no one else is going to replicate.
Yeah, but
and Tom
Brady
also was a very unique individual.
I think he compares the skill set.
I don't care. Compare the skill set to other people.
But the same way we compare the skill set of Drake May to Josh Allen.
Yeah, which it's I think not like it's early to do that. Also,
right, but it's just the skills. It's just
also
the,
Kim Ward's skill set is not like Mahomes.
No, but it's the skill set and the measurables. Right, that's where you get the comparisons. They're similar size. The skill set is, you know what? They're like the shortstop who's playing quarterback, can throw the ball from a lot of different angles.
But then compare him to like Jordan Love. Why are we comparing him to the winningest
because
quarterback
Jordan,
of this
because
current generation?
Jordan Love is like 6'4". Almost 6'5", you know, where Patrick Mahomes is a little bit closer to 6'2", where Cam Ward 6'2". Shime, you know how it is. You're the draft expert. Everybody gets compared to measurables. If there's a short defensive tackle in the coming out for the draft, like, you know, Brian Murphy last year or Kalijah Clancy a few years ago, they say, hey, he's got similar traits to Aaron Donald.
Right. Yeah, but
if there's a tight end prospect that talks a lot, they compare him to Wiggy.
Oh, like I don't think that's
Tyler
always
Warren.
True.
They're comparing to Gronkowski.
Okay, way too early.
But it's the measurable and the skill set. Tyler Warren 6'5", 6'6". Gronk was 6'5", 6'6". Gronk was a good athlete. That's what they.
I don't think that's always true though. Like I think Shedeur Sanders plays a lot like Ben Roethlisberger, and they are two completely different human beings.
Right, but there's I would much rather go to the bathroom with Shedeur Sanders than Ben Roethlisberger.
All right, what's next?
Well, next, Greg. We've been talking about the Masters a lot. Jack Nicklaus was at the Masters, decided to take a nice shot directly at Phil Mickelson. Here was Jack Nicklaus when asked about Phil playing into his older years.
Well, you know, I don't know what level Phil's competing at. I don't know. I guess he's still playing. He's playing the Live Tour. I don't know whether he's playing or not. I don't know. You don't know. You never see it anymore. Phil has been competitive in an odd event here and there, but not really in the last few years. But you know, Phil's been a good player. There's no question about that. There's a question about him being a good player, but.
It was great to see those guys step up yesterday and stripe it right down the middle, Shime. Isn't that great?
Oh my! Isn't one of them one of the older gentlemen in the tournament? I forget who it is, but he's like one under.
Okay,
Freddie Couples. Freddie Couples.
Yeah, Freddie Couples is, which is extraordinary. But seeing Gary Player is like 90, I think, or something like that, and he looks like he's 65.
And he's playing in this?
No. I explained this to you all. Did you not pay attention?
No, but he said he
party?
Was one under.
They go out there. They do the ceremonial first
right.
drive. That's how they start the tournament.
But he said he was one
that's
under.
Freddie Couples.
Freddie
that's
Couples who's 65.
Guy.
Right. That's my point. So yeah. One of the old guys is playing.
There are old. Phil's getting old. That's the whole point of the whole thing. Like, how old is Phil Mickelson? He's got to be 60. Is he 63, 64, something like that?
Mickelson?
Yeah.
No, he's 54.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
right.
So
well, that's not old.
Again, the only thing I saw.
He looks way older.
He does look old.
The only thing I saw from that was Barbara Nicklaus.
Yes, that was so nice.
So she was impressed by her husband, and
yes.
I loved that.
That was so nice.
Very nice.
So nice.
And she can wear the caddy uniform.
Correct.
Yep.
She is allowed to do that.
Correct.
It was nice that she was caddying for her husband.
Yes.
I thought that was very nice. All right, is that it, Shime?
That'll do it today, Greg.
Okay. Coming up next, we'll get to Courtney in today's news. And today's inductee into the Pervert Teacher Association, the PTA, is an assistant principal who was requesting things from the students that one should not request from students.
That was Matt Miller on ESPN talking about Travis Hunter potentially landing with the Patriots. Our draft coverage here on WEEI and WEEI Afternoons is brought to you by McFarlane Energy. Upgrade your air conditioning system before the summer rush. Visit McFarlaneEnergy.com. By Northeast Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Get back your sex life back on track. NortheastMen'sHealth.com. And by Lucky Energy, the number one energy drink in Massachusetts. And in Ted Johnson's opinion as well, the number one energy drink.
Yep, highly recommend it.
So this brings us back to Travis Hunter. Had his pro day on Friday. We didn't get a ton of time to break it down.
Yeah, you guys were being
were you there,
mean,
guys?
You guys were
you
being mean go? To him, I thought.
Oh, yeah. I had a stopwatch. Oh, my God. Mean? You say
and
mean?
Nobody was there.
Well, but you guys were making fun of his route running, weren't you?
There were questions about his route running
stutter,
for a guy.
Stutter.
They who, were unique, Ted.
Yeah, he was just way. Showing off a little bit. You know?
And I don't really care about that get open, catch the ball. Yeah. Right? The right, old Belichickian, well, yeah. get open, catch right, the ball. Yeah. We didn't get a chance to delve into it. Do you, is he your first choice? Like, if you had a dream player, we asked Giardi weeks ago, dream player, and he was like, Josh Simmons, weird dream. If I asked you your dream player, is it Travis Hunter?
It is.
Just
it is.
Because he's a Buffalo or just because no. he's talented or?
Because he's talented and he's, look, I view a lot of this stuff now, like I would think most of us in this business do. What's the best story? He's a great story. I mean, are you kidding me? Just think about all the things that you could talk about with him when he gets here. Like, you, why didn't they have him out there on third down covering so-and-so in that situation? Like, it would be endless amounts of content, I think, to cover with a kid that can play both ways and play both ways at his level. And what he does is he, and I said this before the beginning of the free agency period, the wide receiver group for the Patriots were probably ranked around dead last or close to it.
35th.
You bring in Stephon Diggs. Okay. Now they're like the 26th best.
Yep.
You bring in Travis Hunter. All of a sudden, they might get up to 18.
I like it.
17.
Oh, no, they're top half. If you add Travis Hunter to a healthy Steph Diggs and what Steph Diggs ultimately can or should do to the rest of the room,
maybe
Ted,
in the top half.
We don't even know if Steph Diggs is on the team yet because his contract is completely not guaranteed. Well,
but I'll tell you what, though, he looked awful good on the socials today, rocking that new 8 jersey.
Wasn't even cold.
Man, I can't wait to get one of those. Steph Diggs, by the way, my prediction, Patriot, that more fans went from I effing hate that guy to I effing love that guy faster.
Hopefully he gets on the field to do that. Real quick, Ted, before you, your guy.
Don't you think, like, can't you see
yes.
that?
And this audio with him at his pro day talking to Sirius NFL Radio made me like Travis Hunter even more.
What are you at the next level?
Both, just like you saw me play.
You want to do both. How many snaps in a football game can you play?
All of them. If they give me the chance and the opportunity to do it.
And what? So we were talking about the challenges that come with it. You got to be in offensive meetings. You got to be in defensive meetings. You got to be in wide receiver meetings. You got to be in defensive back meetings. How is there enough time to do all that? How did you prepare for that when you played college?
Well, we kind of got 24 hours in a day. We probably sleep for about 8 of those, so we probably got 16 more. So the 16
and all
that
of them
I'm
dedicated
up,
to those.
Yeah, all of them dedicated to football.
So that right there, I like him more. All of those answers were perfect. All of them, the snaps, and there's 24 hours in a day. I sleep for 8. I got the other 16. Also, did you see the nugget that came out? He is like the first guy since Tebow and only the second guy ever who was a unanimous All-American football player, but also an academic All-American. Like, he's in a class of, like, nobody.
And why don't you want him?
Because I don't know if he can definitively be a superstar at either position.
What if I just told you
why?
Far and away, like, he's too good at two positions for you to be able to handle him. He is
no
a spectacular
sense.
Athlete. He left one school to go to another one because only one school would let him play both positions full time. He excelled. He elevated, went to a tougher school with tougher competition. And now he wants to try to prove that he can do that at the next level. Well, I say whatever team gets Travis Hunter is lucky because he's going to actually show them all up that he can play cornerback and receiver at a high to elite level.
Can I make another argument? Thank you, Fitzy. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but another argument for him playing wide receiver. You know what? A lot of rookie wide receivers, they come in, they're soft as poo.
Yeah.
I mean, you see Jalen Polk.
Oh, we saw that.
You see him getting pushed out of bounds?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just like getting pushed out of bounds, getting physical, getting manhandled.
What's
like
that
little,
sound?
Little mini meow cat, just getting put. This is a dog. You bring in Travis Hunter, a dog who plays wide receiver like he plays defensive back.
Yes, I know.
He doesn't
I've
have
seen
to
it
adjust.
All.
Okay, that's a great argument, right there.
I know.
And you're
did he actually get the D from Dion? Because I know he actually put dogs on the jersey. Didn't he put D instead of C on some of the guys' jerseys?
Yeah,
I believe he didn't have captains. He had dogs.
He's no Jalen Polk.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. You guys didn't know that? He had three letters on his jerseys, not C's. There was D,
There was L for leader. There was D for dog, L for leader, and something else.
Did you also hear his Heisman Trophy, his speech? There's nothing.
He's a saint.
There's nothing not to like about the kid. So I don't know why you wouldn't
want
him.
Saint could be a little far. You know what? There's only room for one saint in this town. But if Cleveland gets him, they need his star power. They need the electricity he'll bring. They probably need it more than any other team out there as well. It might be the beginning of the turnaround for the Browns. Could be doing the smartest thing.
They already have elite pass rushers. Do you think the owner?
Yeah, and they're going to wait for it, and they'll take Jackson Dart at the end of the first round if they trade back up or in the second round, or they'll take someone later on. Shedeur Sanders would be another mistake by the Lake. So
you don't think the owner of the Cleveland Browns was not there to watch Shedeur? Is that what you think? He was in Boulder.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of that? An owner going to a workout before?
Yes. Did it last year?
For anything other than a quarterback?
No.
What's his name?
Josh Harris did it with Jaden Daniels last year.
I can see an owner going to a workout because he's there to see the quarterback, not to see a wide receiver.
Oh, but maybe he was there to see Travis Hunter. According to you, he walks across water. The guy does it all. He's like the second coming.
I mean, it's the proof's in the pudding. I mean, just look at his. Wow. Look at his stats.
I kind of want him to be here, and then he'll have to put out one of those restraining orders against you because you seem a little too excited to have him down.
I don't know how you're not enamored by this kid.
You and smitten. Will Campbell, Andy.
Smitten is the word. Exactly. Not enamored. Smitten. That's Josh McDaniel. We're smitten by football players these days. 617-779-7937. Up next, we're going to talk a little Red Sox. It is crochet day. That means your ace is on the mound. He's got to stop this mini one-game losing streak. He's got to prove yet again that he is a pig and a Cy Young Award candidate. But we're also going to do our pillar power rankings for the Boston Red Sox. We did it for the Patriots a couple weeks ago. For the Red Sox, I feel like this is a race for number one, whereas a few weeks ago it was like, they're all fives. They all stink. The excitement, the confidence in the structure of the Red Sox, that's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
No matter where you work from these days,
take Jones and Keefe with you on the Odyssey app.
Favorite WEEI.
High noon, Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We were just breaking down the worst sports trades in Boston since the year 2000. So 25 years of data. Joe Milton made the cut. The Joe Milton trade made the cut. Barely. It's on there. Yep. So you can seek that out at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. If you missed the segment, it's on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can also seek it out on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. And for more on this, joining us, as he does every Tuesday at high noon on a Tommy Tuesday, Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Tommy Curran, how are we doing this week?
Tremendous. How are you? You guys getting giddy for the draft? It's just 16 days away.
Oh, yeah. We are very giddy. Our counter is not working right now, but thank you for updating us on the 16 days away from the draft. Let's start with Joe Milton, because we are excited for the draft, and we'll get to it. Let's start with the Joe Milton trade. We didn't like it. Why did the Patriots do it?
They believed that Joe Milton had aspirations of being a starter. And healthy competition is terrific. They just weren't sure and positive that it was going to be the most healthy competition. Healthy competition is, hey, the other guys are going to support each other and plow forward. And I think Joe has a regard for his ability relative to Drake May that he thought, you know what? I'm pretty friggin' good too here. I'm not even sure he's better than me. So how happy and helpful and supportive Joe Milton may have been was in somewhat doubt. So as a result, he said, you know what? Let's get Joe to a place where he can feel more comfortable. And, you know, he's not necessarily going to compete for the starter job, but they want to make the Patriots do the situation where there's as few distractions as possible for Drake May. They set out to do that at wide receiver. They eventually lowered the bar a little bit and moved to Stephon Diggs, who they're comfortable with, but was not their first choice. And I think in the quarterback room, they just want all oars in the water, pulling in the same direction, and they want everyone to know what their roles are, their established roles, and Drake's is as the starter.
Now, were there issues during the season last year with Joe Milton?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't remember hearing anything.
I don't either. Yeah. I don't either. But, you know, from what I've gathered is
there was certainly a sentiment, and you kind of saw that a little bit in Joe Milton's comments with the Cowboys today. You can find them, and they were on Pro Football Talk. I don't have them.
No, I have it in front of me. You want me to read it, Tom? I have it.
Yeah, just for the folks out there, he's just very happy, it seems, to be moved on to a different place.
He said about Dak, anyway, is the one I highlighted. Maybe you're talking of a different comment, but he said, it's great. He's a great person, which I was like, interesting. It's my second time meeting him. So being around, I found it interesting. You're the one who brought up the comment. I found it interesting.
One great person on the planet.
It's great. He's a great person. Mm. I don't know. Maybe if you asked him about Drake May, he wouldn't say the same thing. I'm just curious. It's my second time meeting him. So being around him, I feel the great energy he brings.
Ooh, good energy.
And I'm just willing to look forward and learn from him and really compete, he did say in those. Okay. Is that the comment you were talking about, Tom?
Competitor.
There were a number of them. He just sounded very happy that he was going to be in that atmosphere. And look, you know, Joe Milton is older than Drake May. Is it by a significant amount, right? He's usually a big birthday guy.
Yeah, Milton's 25, 26. All over these birth certificates. He's not young.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he played well. He sat there and bided his time behind Drake May. And he certainly improved. Milton did throughout the course of the season. So when he performed, even though it was against, you know, batting practice pitching at the end of the season, he's probably sitting there saying, look, I just have one of the highest ratings of it. I threw a football harder than anybody else except for one person in all recorded pro football history since they started doing guns on it. So look at me.
Yeah.
And I have to come back here and compete with Josh Dobbs. So just clear the decks. I think that was the idea.
I think it's interesting, though, because we obviously celebrate, you know, Tom Brady being here as a sixth-round pick himself, also a Michigan guy, and thinking he could beat out Drew Bledsoe, who was way more established than Drake May.
Yeah, way more established. But by that point, he had established that he was a stiff.
Okay, well, they gave him a ton of money,
his
though.
Ass kicked up. Yeah. Can I just finish this?
Well, I wasn't really finished. When I was my question, you just sort of jumped in yourself.
Yeah, but I got a short amount of time. You got 4 hours.
That's, I know, true. That is a good point. Yeah. I hadn't thought of that.
We have a lot. We have 5 days.
He was horrendous in 2000. He was horrendous in 2000. He got his ass kicked up and down the field during the 2001 training camp. End of story. I mean, he was ripe for the picking.
Okay, but I also watched the Dynasty, as I'm sure you did, and all those guys like Teddy Bruschi and others that were talking about it, they were like, this guy thinks he's beating out Bledsoe? Like, what is he, nuts? And that was embraced, and obviously he became the greatest quarterback of all time. I just think it's odd that you want your backups to be competitive, but also, like, hey, you know, don't really try to get the job. It's not your job. Seems like a strange mentality to me.
Unless you're a really crappy team and you've already established that you've been the quarterback, as Bledsoe was during a decline that went from the Super Bowl to a 5-11 2000 season. And as Ernie Adams said, it's like an elk. What did he say?
Like a wildebeest?
A wildebeest.
Yeah.
Hyenas.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was right for the picking. Drake May is not necessarily right for the picking. And even if he is, you don't know that yet. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that Joe – look, I'm not slandering Joe Milton here. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying the logic behind it was to clear the decks for Drake May and have few distractions in a positive atmosphere, because he has enough crap to deal with, I think, on the field.
So clearing the decks, right? And maybe it says something about Vrabel. Maybe it says something about May. Maybe it says something about Milton. To me, if Milton thinks he's the starter, that's my personal opinion. The Pats may disagree. Is not that egregious. A lot of guys want to start. I don't think that's unique. What would be threatening to Drake May in the locker room, and why you might need to clear the decks, is other guys viewed Milton as not that far away from Drake May. There wasn't a big gap, or Milton could close the gap, or they like what they saw, or whatever. Was that a fear from the Patriots, that players in the room viewed Milton as more of a threat to May?
I would be speculating, because that's not, I would have to go to a point where I'd be speculating, but I think that anytime you have an
Let's speculate.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Yeah, I'll speculate that it's not the Patriots' logic, but I think in any situation, if you have two employees doing the same job and the other guy thinks he should be doing the job instead of the guy who's doing the job, he's going to grumble to teammates or coworkers. And those coworkers might be receptive to his input. They might block it out, but he's probably going to skip on to the next guy and say, you know, I should probably see that. That was just an ass throw. I mean, you get a kid at St. Anselm to do that. I mean, come on. What are we doing here? So, to me, I did tell a buddy of mine I throw out to St. Anselm.
Yeah, it was a good plug. Good St. A's drop. Yeah.
So, I think that there is the possibility of factions developing. And is that productive? Is that what you're looking for? Look, again, Joe Milton was fine. If Joe Milton is a sixth-round pick who thinks he's better than Drake May, and Drake May had a pretty good rookie season, is not what you're looking for. So that's all I can tell you is that's what the logic is behind it.
So I would almost,
whether we agree or disagree.
Yeah, sure. And I think I would understand it a little bit more if they went into the season with just Drake May and Josh Dobbs, but with the draft now 16 days away, if they take a guy in like the fifth round and they take like Riley Leonard, what does that say? Because like what he, I don't know, he just came off a really successful season. Maybe he thinks he could be the starter. Like, would they go into? You think they'll go into the draft and grab a guy?
There I go. I interrupted your ass again.
All good. All good.
I think that says that. Hey, Elliot, watch this. This is how you draft a backup quarterback. This is how you draft a developmental quarterback. See, and then when we draft Riley Leonard, we're going to say, Riley, you understand that guy's better than you, and as far as we're concerned, he's going to be the starter until he poops down his leg 13 times in a row, okay? So just try and learn from him.
Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. You can check him out on WEEI Afternoons on Thursdays, all over NBC Sports Boston, print, TV, the whole thing, and, of course, at high noon every Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. It's Tommy Tuesday. Speaking of the draft, is the Travis Hunter dream dead? It seems like a lot of people now believe he's going to Cleveland. Do you think that dream is dead? And how interested would the Patriots be even if he were there?
That's a great question. It's something that I'm starting to try and prod today on Quick Slants. And with my soon-to-be-submitted poll on the platform X, I'm trying to prod Patriots fans to the idea that maybe they're not going to get the pony. Okay? But maybe you can get a really nice bicycle instead, because I do think that you start to anticipate the Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter, who are far and away the two best players on everybody's big board, are going to be gone by the time the Patriots pick. So with that said, the Patriots need to be prepared for that. Would they take Travis Hunter if he was there? I presume he would, because he's pretty much everybody's number one consensus big board guy. If you look at every analyst, everybody, and everybody's looking at each other's paper on this crap anyway, but it's Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter. So it's less than 50%, I would say, that he's going to sit there. But that means that if those two guys go as what qualifies as elite players in this year's draft, and the only two elite players, and Cam Ward goes one, and he's probably around 20 on most people's big boards, and Shedeur Sanders isn't even in anyone's top 20 on the big board, you're still going to get the third best player in the draft. And a lot of them play positions that the Patriots need. So it's not worth stomping upstairs on Christmas morning if you don't get those two.
Obviously, I would take Abdul Carter if he's there at four, if he somehow falls to four. But the way this offseason has gone, I mean, don't they almost have to take an offensive player with their first pick? It just seems like they have not done nearly enough to help Drake May, other than get rid of his competition.
Yes, I agree. It would be, I mean, if you're sitting there, it'll be hard if you're sitting there looking at, for instance, to play the game. All right, do we take Abdul Carter, who everyone says is the first or second best player in this draft, or Will Campbell, who's anywhere between the 6th and the 11th best player in the draft? Or do we take Ashton Jeanty, who's a lot of people's idea of the 4th best player in the draft, or even the 3rd? Or Tyler Warren, who can be anywhere from 4 through 12? Those are some of the best players in the draft. Mason Graham, do you like the idea? I mentioned this to Phil the other day. You think of all these different players. You like the idea of watching Jonathan and Robert strolling across the lawn with Mason Graham on the way to his media picture in the middle of the field.
No, he might be a good player, but that is not a sexy pick. No.
You could have Tyler Warren with his flowing hair or big old strapping 6'5", 312 Will Campbell. Then you end up with Mason Graham plodding along. So, to me, but they're going to get a good player.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly the hope, and they should at that pick. I'm curious.
As long as Elliott's not there.
Well, as you said the other day, he's basically already working at Bass Pro. So I don't think we have to worry about that. You were absolutely right about that, Curran. I was fearful he would have a lot of say.
No.
I think the Milton trade, among other things, proves that he has no say. So I would bend the knee there. When it comes to Travis Hunter, what have you heard about how teams are going to utilize him at the next level? Is he viewed as a corner? Is he viewed as a wide receiver? Is anybody going to give him a chance to play both ways? And why wouldn't teams give him a chance to play both ways?
From what I gather at the combine and talking to people and talking to the Patriots specifically, I think every single team will give him a chance to play both ways. I think that having a full plate of both, running 700, 600 plus snaps on both sides of the ball as he did last year at Colorado, I would be dubious that any team is going to allow him to do that at the beginning. It might be a package on one side or the other, depending upon where he's more needed. I mean, he's the Bednarik winner and he's the Biletnikoff winner for both the top cornerback and the top wide receiver. So you're getting that on either side of the ball. Where do you need him? The Patriots obviously need him at wideout more than they need him at corner. So let's figure out if he can play there. And then as the season goes along, if he proves that he can do some things, we'll put a little cornerback on his plate, maybe in some dime packages or slot corner or whatever. But I don't think any team's going to allow him or want him in this first year to be fully both ways out of the chute. You guys must agree with that, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would love to see him try to do it as much as possible, but I think it would be pretty difficult to do that. And just the way the Patriots roster is set up, you're probably going to need him a lot more on offense. So, yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, I would let him do it until he proves that,
yeah,
he,
I
that he
see
can.
It.
You know what I mean? Like, I would give him as much as he could handle, and if it's too much, then I would scale it back. I mean, that would be my personal approach. I'm sure you've heard his answer to SiriusXM, and it's just a player answering a question, but, like, I'm sure you've heard it. He absolutely wants to do it. He went to Jackson State, for God's sakes, because that was the only place that was going to give him the opportunity to do it. So I wouldn't take that away before he proves he can't do it, personally.
Yeah, and I have yet to hear anybody say that he is not sincere and diligent. And his quote to Sirius, if we're talking about the same one where he said, "This 24 hours of the day, I'm going to sleep for 8. I got 16 hours to study." I mean, it seems like that's not just paying lip service and he's going to be playing Call of Duty for 11 of them.
That's kind
of
Murray.
He really, really, really is consumed by football. So you can't miss with Hunter. You can't really miss with Carter, but you also can't miss. And you guys are going to laugh. You can't miss with Will Campbell.
You love Will Campbell, yeah.
I just think the notion that you're going to get zero from him if he's a tackle is cuckoo. He might not be Orlando Pace, but he certainly can be Matt Light.
Yeah, I like him more than Jones does. I would take. I'm still holding out hope for two quarterbacks getting picked ahead of you, and you have the choice of Hunter or Carter. That's what I'm hoping for, but I would still take Campbell. Last week, Curran, we had both the coordinators speak. Anything jump out to you from Terrell Williams or Josh McDaniels?
More so with McDaniels, and I think we haven't yet. Not to correct you, but just we get Williams a little later. I think we got Springer last week.
Oh, that's right. It was Springer. My bad. Yeah.
But with McDaniels, nothing really that I didn't expect to hear. You know, I learned a lot in the offseason. I do think that it was interesting to hear his comments and then some piggybacking comments from Greg Bedard on BST that night, Boston Sports Tonight. Greg Bedard from Boston Sports Journal just saying, look, he thinks that McDaniels' package of plays and mindset going into 2025 is going to be fascinating to watch because it could be revolutionary. And he is, in my mind, even though he's, you know, mid-40s now, he's a very, 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 very innovative guy. And I think that Drake May could be his best possibility to be his most innovative. He had the greatest quarterback of all time at his disposal. But Tom was a pocket quarterback that you could just, you know, give anything to and he'd figure it out. With Drake May, it's kind of a, it really is a blank slate with a dual threat quarterback who's got a weapon for an arm and an unbelievable amount of competitiveness and mental and physical resilience. So to me, it's going to be I'm excited as well to see what he's going to dust off for him.
One last one quick, and I'm hearing you talk about Abdul Carter as a can't-miss guy with Hunter, which I would agree. Those are the two, you know, true blue chippers in this draft. But if Hunter is rising and Ward's going one, maybe that means Carter, to a degree, is falling. Have you heard anything on the medical front with Abdul Carter? Like, is there a reason he might be, you know, quote-unquote dropping, if you will, from a guy who was looked at as the no-brainer number one pick a month or so ago?
No, and I don't. I think that really this is too much time on our hands kind of stuff with Carter. I wouldn't at all think of that as he's a faller. It's just, okay, now that it's established that Ward is one, and now that I think people are looking at more and more that the Giants are saying, the Browns are saying, you know what, we'll just take Hunter. We can't bring Shedeur Sanders in as an X factor if he's the 20th best player in the draft at best. And then you're looking at the reason that Carter could be dropping. And you said real quick, and this isn't real quick. Carter could be dropping isn't really based on the fact that he stinks or injured. It's that, okay, the Giants are 3 and they have Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns, and both of them are either a top 5 pick or a $30 million a year player. Are you really going to do that with Hunter? So I think it's more tied to that than concerns about, Carter going as a defensive end to there.
All
thinking.
Right. He's Tommy Curran. You
babble,
can check.
Babble,
no,
babble,
no, no. No, all good. That's good. So I was curious because I just, you know, again, falling is a relative term, but I just wonder for a guy who, you know, wasn't going to be able to get in a full off season where he's at medically. You can check out Curran's latest up at NBC Sports Boston on the Patriots needing to reprove themselves at voluntary OTAs. Quick slants tonight, WEEI afternoons on Thursdays, and of course every Tuesday at high noon on a Tommy Tuesday. Tom, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
Tommy Curran joining us here as he does every Tuesday here on Jones and Keith. Interesting stuff on Travis Hunter. I want to dive back into that. It seems like the latest intelligence, and who knows, 2 weeks out of the draft, 16 days out of the draft, maybe it's just talk. Maybe that's all it is. We got a lot of time to talk ourselves in circles.
Counters back, Jones. 16 days, 7 hours, 38 minutes, 22 seconds.
Wait a minute. What, did that happen in the middle of the interview?
No, I don't know.
When did that happen?
Middle of the show. It wasn't there at the beginning of the show.
Tom then said 16 days at the start of the interview. That wasn't there.
Now it's there.
Wow.
16 days, 7 hours, 38 minutes,
that?
10 seconds.
9 Woo-hoo. Seconds, 8 seconds.
Yeah, that's right.
7 seconds. Great.
It's good to have it back.
So it sounds like Hunter won't be there on the clock for the Patriots at 4. I want to get into what the Patriots do. And, of course, whether or not teams will use him on both sides of the football. We just mentioned a comment he had. Curran mentioned it. We'll play that for you coming up. He certainly wants to do it. All that. Plus, another 2 for Tuesday giveaway. Red Sox tickets, April 19th. Sox and White Sox at Fenway Park. You want to win them? Stay tuned after Trending with Billy Lane.
Well, apologies on behalf of Mother Nature if you have to find the stupid scraper and get the ice or the snow off of your car this morning. It's not right. It's April 11th. It ought to be in the 50s or the 60s, not in the 30s, but we'll get there eventually, I guess. And Curtis will keep you updated as the official WEEI weather smoke on what happens there. This is Lou from my adopted home continent of Maine. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning. Listen, I really enjoy the banter on different subjects, but I can't take this Pokemon talk anymore.
Oh.
I mean, Shine has said some stuff that has just really gotten under my skin lately.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And to have his uncle call in yesterday and say that Shine is the next Greg Hill, like, are you kidding me?
Wasn't my uncle. I don't even think my uncle listens to the program, but thank you.
I want to compare and contrast something that was said on this show on Monday.
Yeah.
And Shime said the adrenaline rush that he gets from ripping packs.
Yes. Yep, that's the
and
word.
And then less than an hour later, you have Travis Mills on this show talking about the adrenaline rush that he gets from kayaking and mountain bike riding and horseback riding as a quadruple amputee.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, some of us are too scared to go whitewater rafting and mountain biking, bud. Like, we find our thrills in other ways.
Greg, here's what I'd like to offer.
Yeah.
I'm going to hand you a check for the your foundation in OOP, like I do every year.
Yeah.
But I would also like to offer a check for $100. And if I get outbid or you just choose not to do this, I understand. But $100 to the Travis Mills Foundation for the honor of caddying for you to defeat this kid in your golf match.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, okay.
Double caddies.
Yeah.
Is that allowed at the Masters?
No. I think it would be fine for this because it's about raising money. So,
okay.
Yes. Huh? Lou, hang on so we can get some information. And as you mentioned, we will see you and the rest of the Mainers on June 6th. At the Brunswick on the beach in Old Orchard Beach for the road show. So thank you, Lou. Love it. I don't know, Spaz wants the caddy, but he doesn't have the caddy. If Shime has an issue with me having more than one caddies, I will take Lou.
You can do whatever you want, Greg. It's not going to help you.
Are we going to live stream this on Twitch?
Yes, we are.
We could have Spaz just do the commentary.
He could, yes.
That would be pretty good.
Yes. Okay, yes, yes. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
And then he can trash talk Chime every time.
Then he can equally heckle everybody.
Correct. Well, yes.
And Greg, not to get too into the weeds here, but in your new contract, isn't it that Ken is contractually obligated to be your caddy?
That is not true. I mean, Ken he runs this place with an iron fist, Curtis. You know that.
That is true.
You know.
Boss man.
Can I throw in a non sequitur? I was just reading Shaughnessy's piece. This is not my lead, but Courtney's going to love this. At the end, there are 363 acknowledgments where Bill Belichick thanks all these people. He says this about Jordan: "Thank you to my idea mill and creative muse, Jordan Hudson."
Wow, muse. He didn't use the term muse, did he?
Well, Jordan used that term.
Wow,
I love it. I did send a DM yesterday, and I'm just checking to see if I missed to Jordan.
Oh, to Jordan, you did to get her on the show to talk about.
She still hasn't opened.
She's doing the like cheerleading things. You see her on social media.
But I said cheerleader to cheerleader. I'd love to have you on the show.
Okay,
but this is the only very thinly veiled shot from Belichick to Kraft. Quote, "Somewhere someone came up with the phrase the Patriot way. I think they made some money off it. Good for them. Here's something you should know. The Patriot way does not exist." Quote, unquote. Awesome.
I am here for petty Bill Belichick.
Wow.
Are you not?
Oh, yes.
This is interesting.
So great. That goes right up the keister.
That was a quick book you put out, though, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it's easy to write when you have a muse.
Yeah, that's true.
When your muse is lounging there in a sundress,
right,
on the back deck in Sconset, it's very easy to pull out the old typewriter and to write word after word after word, paragraph after paragraph after paragraph.
She living her best life, huh?
That is awesome. All right.
Where is she doing that? Is that
she's at Daytona, so it's nationals right now for cheerleading.
I see.
She's still coaching? Is that why she's there?
Well, she does All-Star still, but she's just there, I think, to take in the festivities. She's wearing a UNC top, so.
Oh, okay. So she's like an adult cheerleader in leagues.
Yes.
Oh, all right.
Very similar to the dudes that were in the caddy outfits at the Masters party yesterday. Like, what's the oldest cheerleader that is there?
I guess
asking for a friend.
I mean, there's plenty of NFL cheerleaders or NBA cheerleaders that are probably as old or older than Jordan.
Okay, but is there like one woman who won't give it up who's like in her 50s who shows up?
And there's always that, like, you know, in the Bear League hockey. So if this is like Bear League cheerleading.
Yeah.
I mean, what she's at right now, this is college nationals.
Oh, okay. I thought you said she she's.
No, she's just there as a spectator.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, I thought she was competing.
Then why is she cheering?
They have one day where it's like stunt fest, basically. Oh. And people that are alum can go and
form a cheerleader.
Yeah, stunt with each other.
Okay, what is Bill's book called, Curtis?
F off. I don't know, but there is an entire chapter dedicated to mistakes. Does not include the words Malcolm or Butler.
It doesn't.
Does not.
Huh.
Which would.
But he does acknowledge. Are they his mistakes, or is he pointing out mistakes of others?
I think it would be his. I don't know. Okay. But the book is titled "The Art of Winning: Why I Never Won Without Tom." Oh, interesting. Okay.
The Art of Winning. I love it. All right. Well, I mentioned it while we were talking to Lou. We will be in Maine. Good morning and hello to all of you who loyally listen to this show up there in Maine every morning. And we will be there for a road show at the Brunswick on June 6th and then June 7th on Saturday. It is our 8th annual Beach Cornhole Tournament right there at the Brunswick. And if Brees doesn't win, I'm suing. Just a heads up on that. We have the weekly wrap-up coming up. I would play it right now. It's so good. It's
hey, talented.
It's
pen game is ridiculous.
It's bop. I mean, it is fat with a straight fat with a pH.
All right.
It's so good this week.
Nah,
so
it is lit.
What's the first time we could get to that? Probably not till like 8:20 or something, Shine.
That works. What if people have to go to work though? And they're listening right now.
We could play it quick at 7 as an early listen. And then play it later at 9 or
do we do it at 7 or do we do it like a preamble into They Said It?
At 7:20. Okay, let's do that. Okay.
So we do it. When we do They Said It at 7:45, we'll play that.
No, we're sticking to the clock today, Curtis. That means to stick to the clock, we got to get right to this right this moment.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
I'm reluctant to interrupt. You can't interrupt the Highwaymen, Shine.
Well done, Greg.
I feel like we interrupted Johnny Cash, and nobody should ever interrupt Johnny Cash. That's the problem when you pick a song like that.
You're right, and that's my fault.
The urge is to you feel like an obligation to listen to the whole entire
especially
thing.
Johnny Cash.
Well done. Why did you choose that this morning?
I was in a Johnny Cash mood, and I was searching the catalog. I came across The Highwayman, and I go, oh, this is such a great song. We need to play it this morning.
It is a banger. Absolute banger. And every single song, just so you know, every single song that Shime has ever played as a rejoin coming back from commercials on this radio show is on a Spotify playlist. And what's that called?
That's correct, Greg. It's called The Greg Hill Show with an exclamation point at the end. There's over 5,600 songs, approaching 5,700. If you DM me, I can send you the link. I've already sent it to like 10 people this week.
Okay.
So you can search for it or just DM me and I'll send it over.
All right. So if at any point you heard a song and you didn't know what it was, you can go back and search there. So leads this morning are brought to you by Subaru of New England, the love Spring event is here. Spring into your next adventure in a 2025 Subaru. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Greg. What was it? It was the famous quote from Dennis Green. They are who we thought they were.
Correct.
Well, I hate to take joy in someone else's misery, but God, Rory McIlroy is exactly who I thought he was. I don't know why. I just enjoy betting against Rory at every turn because everybody on the planet seems to love him, and I just think he's kind of a tool.
Is it because he was such a dink about the live guys?
No.
That's what it is for me.
For me, it's dated before that. I've just always felt he's kind of dinkish, and so I've always liked to root against Rory, and he was having a great day until like the final four holes where he doubles 15 because he puts one in the drink and then doubles again on 17. This guy is the biggest Masters choker I've ever seen. He will never win the career Grand Slam because he is so bad at Augusta, and I don't know why it brings me this much joy, but it does, and so I needed to bring it to the attention of everyone.
Okay, Sean, how are you doing wager-wise?
Pretty good so far.
I'm up.
I had like one bet that actually finished yesterday, which was Scottie Scheffler to shoot under 70.5, which was easy money, felt like. I would be... I don't know what Scotty's number is today. Haven't looked, but I will be betting the under blindly because he gets the later shift today. He doesn't tee off until 1:20, which means the course will dry out from the rain this morning. He'll be a little bit better off.
All right, Chime. Thanks. Curtis, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. So, quick personal lead. Just wanted to say how fortunate we are in Boston to have the greatest healthcare on the planet. My dad had a quadruple bypass yesterday, as you know, at the Brigham. And first of all, every building you enter is the Hale building. I mean,
yeah,
the what they do for this community in ways that are just so remarkable needs to be discussed more often because they'll never talk about it. But I was with my dad last night. It, literally, they stop his heart. Like, I mean, the surgeon, I met with him a couple weeks ago, and my dad, these people, like, thank God these people apply themselves to these kinds of things. The most brilliant person I've ever spoken to in my life. And he sits there and he's like, yep, you know, we'll get your dad patched up. He'll be out. And the other thing is, we've had a lot of people, Wiggy's great about promoting men to get colonoscopies to get ahead of colon cancer and all of that. My dad, I'd wanted him to get a new knee for a while because he can't really move that well. And my son is, you know, would love to have his grandfather that could run around for a bit. And he took a stress test and he didn't pass. And then an angiogram and they found all these clogged arteries. So just so grateful. Oh my God. He was joking a bit last night on the day that they did this procedure. The nurse, Kara, these people, like, it's just, we are so unbelievably blessed to live in a city where you can go and your dad's going to have this procedure and the doctor says 98% chance he'll be fine. I'll do it myself. I'll be home for dinner. Like, just unbelievable. So thankful for everybody there and just so grateful to live here for those reasons.
And so it was a quadruple for Courtney. That's four.
Yes, yeah. Okay. I knew that. Yep. Thank you.
But that's amazing, and he's doing well, Curtis, this morning.
Yeah,
just, right, good job.
Awesome.
Enjoy your time.
Best. He is the best, he is, John Curtis.
Yes, he is. Yeah. And it was, I heard from a nurse over there, they said it was a little bit inappropriate that you showed up right before the procedure with a new will for him to sign.
They actually, I asked the nurse to keep his hands tied because they were nervous he would take the breathing tube out, and I had him sign some things, and I kept saying, Dad, guess which one of your kids is here?
Dad. Are you the only one there?
No, oh, yeah, no, Kim.
Big
he was
points,
here too.
Big points, Curtis.
Little brownie points.
So, huge right. ones. And yeah. They said that the arteries were clogged with IOUs, which is kind of weird.
Well, we are delighted that he's doing well.
Yes.
There you go.
Thank you.
Awesome. Get checked out for everything.
All right. We will get a lead from Courtney. Any kind of a tease on the topic of your lead?
Masters.
Oh, you have a master's lead?
I sure do.
Okay.
I sure do.
All right. So Courtney's lead, Wiggy's lead, and my lead coming up, and then we will squeeze in an early debut of this week's weekly wrap-up from Acrobatic at 7 on today's show.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, that was Greg Bedard talking about the Joe Milton trade, the story that took forever to come and now just won't go away. Various reports over the weekend on the Joe Milton trade. Reminder, the Patriots shipped Joe Milton in a seventh-round pick to the Dallas Cowboys for a quote-unquote fifth-round pick, which is really a sandwich pick after the fifth round. They gave away Joe Milton, the guy who cost you the number one pick in the draft by beating the Bills in the season finale, his one start as a rookie, a former sixth-round pick. And we need to get to the bottom of this, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, Andy Hart, here on WEEI Afternoons, because the more we talk about this, the less I like this whole damn situation and everybody involved. So, for example, Karen Garigian, Mass Live this weekend, writes, based on intel gathered from sources during the week, Milton fancied himself a starter.
Okay.
Wait, is that a bad thing? Shouldn't
yeah, I was
we
gonna
all
say,
do
yeah,
that?
Like, yeah, aren't you like Andy? Shouldn't you believe like that you can be the best at whatever it is that you choose to do, like to do, or actually are good at doing?
I always thought, I'm sorry, I've always heard this, I know it's biblical, but it's also become football-cal, that iron sharpens iron. Like, that's all I ever hear. Iron sharpens iron. You want to have the best players. Competition. Rising tides, I believe, Fitzy, lift all boats. All I've of heard. These cliches we've heard. Okay. So Joe Milton fancied himself a starter. I didn't even like that language, to be honest, because it felt like it took a shot at Joe Milton. The audacity. He thought he could be a starter in the NFL. Okay. So that happens, and it happened late last week. The Patriots are at Gillette Stadium today.
as Mike Vrabel told you at the owners' meetings, voluntarily. He voluntarily wrote them a letter to tell them about the voluntary offseason program that they were hopefully going to voluntarily show up for. They're there. Drake May's there. Other guys are there. Mike Vrabel wanted Joe Milton out of the building, basically. Mike Reese. The timing, according to a source familiar with the team's thinking, wasn't a coincidence. Monday marks the start of the team's voluntary program, and Vrabel views that as a meaningful checkpoint in the process of establishing team culture and the dynamic that ideally unfolds within each position group. Okay, so this really bothers me. It is now seen as a bad thing to be competitive in Foxborough. It is seen as a bad thing to believe you're not just a backup. They apparently are working now with a class system. There's a class of starters, and then there's a class of backups who should just be happy to be backups and nothing else, should not desire to ascend to a greater role. That is the message that has been sent by this Joe Milton trade and these subsequent reports, and that left me, Fitzy, with the question. Who does this reflect poorly upon? Is it Joe Milton for, God forbid, fancying himself a starter, as Karen Garigian wrote it? Is it Drake May, who Ben Volen reported, well, his parents were a little pissed off that they even drafted Joe Milton. They didn't think that was fair to their little baby, the number fourth round pick. And I called him a baby for a reason there. And the last person I'll throw out there, does it reflect poorly on Milton, May, or Mike Vrabel? Is he afraid to have competition on his roster? Is he afraid to have Drake May pushed by Joe Milton? Because I thought he came from a world where Bill Belichick told every Patriot team for 20 plus years that every year, every coach and player has to reestablish himself. Even Tom Brady had to show up in April, sometimes, not later in his career, but earlier in his career, he showed up in April to reestablish himself as the starter. Now they trade away backups who want to be starters in New England. Fitzy, explain it to me.
I'm actually going to go with the person that I should be maddest at, or who we should blame the most. I'm gonna go with Joe Milton, because I believe
he's gone. Easy.
Yep.
Pick on him. Bully
easy
him.
Target. Yep. Can't say anything. Yep. Classic. Typical classic.
Typical
system.
Patriot fan. Typical, you people love them till they leave, then you rip them.
Foxborough fanboy.
Getting laughs
yeah,
outside.
Yeah. No. Here's why I'm disappointed in Joe Milton, because you had a great spot. You were behind Drake May. You got Mike Vrabel as your head coach. You already seemed to do well last year in the medical waste fire that was the 1 year of Gerard Mayo's head coaching in Foxborough. Now,
another guy who's no longer here.
Exactly.
For what it's worth.
Mm-hmm. Now you got Josh McDaniels coming in, Mike Vrabel coming in. You got a little thing going on with Drake May. Little friendly competitions never hurt anybody. I'm starting to get the feel that he mouthed off a little too much, and that he was starting to get a little big for his QB britches, and that he may have, I hate this expression, but for lack of better, he may have groused his way out of town. I'm not going to say shot his way out of town, but he may have basically worked his way out of town to a point where I'm not as much concerned about Drake May saying, oh, I don't want to have someone nipping at my heels. I need to be comfortable and secure in my role as quarterback of the New England Patriots. So much as Mike Vrabel probably just thought, look, I've worked with Dobbs. He's a professional backup. We'll keep the kid upright. We'll do the best we can. I need less headaches out here. So good luck in Dallas. And now you're Brian Schottenheimer's problem, not mine.
If Bill Belichick had believed that, you wouldn't have had Tom Brady. Damon Heward would have been the backup quarterback permanently for the New England Patriots. When Drew Bledsoe went down, Damon Heward would have come
in. But was Brady vocal?
Great minds think alike. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Our lines are open.
When he arrived, he told Robert Kraft he was the best decision you ever made with this organization.
That's urban myth.
So you don't think he was vocal? So Brady stayed and catapulted your franchise to title after title after title because he was a great competitor and believed in himself and wasn't comfortable being buried on the depth chart. Joe Milton does it, and you ship him out of town before his second NFL season. Huh. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So what am I to think here? Maybe the incumbent quarterback is soft, or maybe the new coach is soft. Because I'm not putting this on Joe Milton. I'm not putting it on Joe Milton for wanting to play, because first of all, I don't know when he would have had the opportunity to, did you say grouse? Grouse a little too loud? I don't even know what grouse means, but he didn't have time to grouse because they weren't
grouse's complaint.
The facility. He
well, who
couldn't
knows
complain.
Where he was grousing. Could have been a miserable group chat. Who knows?
Okay. So okay, so Drake May was offended and had to tattle to Vrabel. He'd be mean to me in the group chat. You got to trade him. I don't like this. I don't like anything about this. I don't like the return that they got on the trade.
The return was trash, and May is your boy. You've been talking about how he's the one who's going to solve our economic crisis, the tariffs,
yes,
the Patriots, everything.
Now I'm finding out he's soft as puppy poo. That's all I can read from this trade, is that he is somehow soft as puppy poo, and I don't like it, because it's not really hard for me to think Vrabel is soft as puppy poo.
Yeah, I don't think Mike Vrabel Mike Vrabel is something that served at TCBY. So I want, just the same way that you've said to me so many times before, yes, I want you, first yes time we sit down with Draco, with D10, or Drakeo, or D-Rizzle, or whatever they call Drake May, I want you to say to him, when we sit in the studios at Gillette Stadium, so, what's up? What exactly? A great game yesterday. Big dub. Congratulations on the offseason.
More
by
importantly,
the way, what's this whole, yeah, first soften him up, real, butter him up real good, praise him right up the wazoo, and then I want you to ask him, so what's up with, why Joe Milton have to get traded, huh?
It'll be a little bit easier because he probably will be on the phone.
Yeah, and I think at that point the answer will have come. He's going to be asked that question, right? Don't you think he's going to be asked? At some point, did you ask for Joe Milton to be traded? Were you?
And then you'll hear Stacey James. Last question.
Yeah, I'm sorry you're going through a tunnel. You broke up. I'm sorry, the audio went out. I'm sorry.
No more questions, everybody. No more questions.
I don't know how you can read this in it. Can anybody give me a way that this is a positive for the Patriots?
I can't. Because aside from the backflips, I know, insert drop of Ted Johnson going, laser cannon arm and backflips, deep throws and backflips. Forget about the camp antics and the fan service Joe Milton provided. I just don't see how unless they really believed he was not ready to handle potentially having to play against top-tier talent should Drake May get injured this year, and maybe Mike Vrabel talked to him for 10 minutes and was like, oh, man, this kid is super talented. He's oversized Michael Bishop, but I can't do much more with him. I just don't see how somebody with his physical gifts, his toolbox, was not an asset that you would want to hold on to and develop. Why'd you have to just, here, get out of here. You want to go play? Go. Get, beat it, pesky neighborhood kid, and shut the screen door on your way out. I didn't like that. And I think the ROI stinks.
Dan Ball's going to spin it positive. What do you got? For the Patriots, Dan Ball.
I'll try to shoehorn something. If the reason this move was made in the first place was to appease Drake May, who was looking over his shoulder after the performance from Milton, both in the preseason and in the final week of the season,
then we're porked.
If it's true, and if the tweet from, I think it was Mike Reese or somebody tweeted, it clears the runway for Drake May.
I hate that expression so much. I hate that expression so much, I never want to hear it again. I never, ever want to hear, clears the run. What the hell was on the runway for Drake May, Andy?
A big old Joe Milton.
Apparently, yeah. Apparently, it was Bazooka Joe that was in the way. But if it's true, and the last time that you ever have to hear it, Fitzy, is in this case, and it's true, then we should get a much better Drake May in year two, even better than he was going to be if you had competition on the roster. That's what...
Yeah, but aren't you going to find out he's, like, that character trait... Isn't it going to rear its ugly head later and you're going to regret it? Like, I don't love this idea of the most important person in the building, the quarterback. Modern football says that's true. He is the most important person in the building. You know how I know that? Because they pay those guys like $500 million and they pay coaches like $10 million. So they know he's the most important person. He can't handle competition.
Apparently not.
He can't handle Joe Milton being around. And I have never once seen anything to indicate to me that Joe Milton has a problem. Have you? I know you haven't. You have. You don't have any. Fitzy, have you? Down at Gillette.
I have not seen or heard a single thing about Joe Milton that would have ever led me to believe that he was going to be a problem for the quarterback room, the team, or most importantly, Drake's development, because everyone's so smitten with him, Andy.
And smitten, terrible word, and we'll get into that later. I've never used that word, and I don't think I ever will.
Grouse,
in terms of a
smitten. Boy, you've got a very selective dictionary today.
So, on a team in the Patriots that last year, we saw lots of guys do and say things we didn't like, right? Polk, Booty, Baker, Tavai. I don't know. There's probably more if I thought about it longer. Joe Milton was not on that list. Never once did I not like what Joe Milton did, said,
his backflips, okay, you don't have to like them, Ted, but they were fun and they were in training camp and they got big cheers from the small crowd. Well, it's because it wasn't a factor. It was Brissett at the beginning of the season, then it was May. Joe Milton's...
Wait, go back for a second?
Which part?
The Brissett. Fact,
Brissett at the beginning of the season.
Is that a factor here too? Do they have no faith in Dobbs to be the veteran quarterback? They've had faith that Jacoby Brissett could handle two rookies to be the in-between guy between May when he ascends to starter. He'll handle it perfectly because
a more assertive veteran QB presence is what you're saying. Maybe Dobbs is too passive?
I'll add Dobbs to the list. People they don't have faith in. They don't have faith in May. They don't have faith in Vrabel. They don't have faith in Dobbs. They don't have faith. There is a problem in faith here. There's no faith in Foxborough. That's the problem. No, I am legitimately, like, you're laughing at me like you think I'm doing a bit here. This is not a bit.
No, it's just started to get a little. It just started to get a little gospely. There's no faith in Foxborough now. If you look up to the heavens,
and the Lord cometh, and His name is May.
Yeah, I mean, you can't stand still. You're the gesticulations and everything. Like, my God,
I know it's biblical, but it's also become football-cal. It's a problem. It's a problem if you don't have faith in your coach, you don't have faith in your quarterback. Those are problems, and they don't have faith in somebody. And I don't even know who they is, because they is one of them. Mike Vrabel, does he know he couldn't be a good enough coach with a young backup quarterback pursuing his young starting quarterback? Did he pull the trigger on this? It looks like a Mike Vrabel trade. It looks like Milton was probably a Mayo guy, and Vrabel's like, yeah, we don't need that. But that, again, somebody brought it up last week, and injuries were a major factor, but also one of the talking points in Washington with RG3 was how soft he was. He couldn't be coached hard. You couldn't criticize him in front of the other team. Maybe he was threatened by Kirk Cousins. Whatever. Like, this is going down that the high pick is too soft, and I don't like that. I don't like that at all, and I think that's something we're going to have to monitor moving forward because this makes no sense. This sends a message. I'd be offended if I was a backup on this team. If they don't trade me, that means they think I'm just a backup who has no desire to be anything more than a backup. Because the one guy that wanted to be a starter and they found out he wanted to be a starter, they shipped to a different team.
They perceive you won't fight for a job,
right.
Is how
right.
They look at you.
So if they're comfortable with you being a backup, it means they think you have no competitive nature. You are soft. You have no dog in you. I do not like the message this sends to anybody. This was a terrible trade in return, terrible trade in theory, philosophy, the whole damn thing. This is one of the worst trades we've ever seen, and this is a city that gave Babe Ruth up.
Holy mackerel. Take a breath for a second.
Try it.
I think we actually have some Bedard audio on this very topic that would be relevant while you, at Fenway, do your Foxborough filibuster. Stanley, take it away.
I don't think Vrabel set out to do this, but... He kind of embarrassed Elliott Wolf a little bit by doing this. I mean, you know, like you said, if Elliott Wolf was still in charge, let's say if Gerard Mayo was still here and Elliott Wolf was still, you know, in personnel power, there's no way they make this deal. No, they were going to follow the Packers plan. Just keep drafting quarterbacks and, you know, if May works out great. You know, if they could trade. You know, Milton, you know, all the better. So to me, absolutely. This is just more evidence that Mike Vrabel is in charge and he's doing everything.
So he says he embarrassed Elliott Wolf with this trade?
Yes.
Isn't Elliott Wolf already emasculated enough, though?
I would feel fine if I'm Elliott Wolf. I drafted a would-be starter who threatens your boy, your smitten boy, so much, though, that we got to deal him. I drafted a starter in the sixth round. I would be taking a victory lap that you made me unload a would-be starter who you are not comfortable coaching. Vrabes. If I'm Elliott Wolf, I'm walking around Scott Pioli style with my chest held high around Foxborough these days. All right, 617-779. We're running a little late here. WEEI afternoons. We're talking Joe Milton trade. Who do you blame for the Joe Milton trade? Who looks the worst in the Joe Milton trade? And we do need to get to some mock drafts. Our buddy Mike Giardi has his latest mock draft. It includes a trade. It includes a different top pick than you've seen almost anywhere else. That's all next here on WEEI Afternoons. But Dan Ball, give me what's trending.